Hey everybody, welcome to Mosaic House Online. We are in the series called All I Want for Christmas. And on the first Sunday, we said all I want for Christmas is what? Hope. Hope that Jesus brings to you. And hope is not a wishful thinking. Hope is this certain, confident expectation that something good in the future will come to pass because of Jesus. The second message was, all I want for Christmas is what? Love. Romans chapter 5, verse 38. God demonstrates his love for you in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We know that God loves us. We are certain of it, confident of it, because Christ died for us unconditionally. He loves us unconditionally because he died for us while we were powerless and dying in our sins. Now today, it's joy. What do you want for Christmas? Let's say it together. J-O-Y. All I want for Christmas is joy. So I want to spell out for you what joy is, because joy is something that is heavenly. It's not from the earth. I'm talking about the biblical definition of joy. It is from heaven above, and it is a gift. And you will find out how you can experience joy in the midst of confusion, anxiety, and even in fear. Have you experienced confusion? Have you faced anxiety as of late? Or even fear itself? And Jesus' joy will bring you something profoundly transformative. So let's go to the Word. I want to invite you to a really familiar passage in the Bible, Christmas story. This is Luke chapter 1. Hear the word of the Lord. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." Would you join me in reading verse 38? "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, by your Holy Spirit, help us to see ourselves in the narrative. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may we hear, see, and experience what Mary had seen, heard, and experienced. Give us joy and increase that joy to your glory. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Friends, use the sermon outline to write down these words. This is the theme and the goal. Are you ready? God became a man to bring his joy into your spirit. God, the Most High. Luke kept saying, "The Most High, the Most High, the Lord God Almighty, the Lord God Almighty, the Most High," became what? A man, a human being, a child. For what purpose? To bring you Jesus' joy into your spirit. So let's unpack this. Number one, first point, Joy is a gift. Please write that word. It's a gift. That is to say, joy is not something that we conjure up, or it's not something that we produce on our own. Listen. What's the difference between happiness and joy? Is there a difference? I believe there is. So here's my assertion and contention between those two definitions. I believe happiness is based on external circumstances. Therefore, happiness is temporal. It's temporary. It doesn't last. Let me give you an example. Nikki Gumbel from the Alpha Course, I heard him speak these words. When he was in the university, he wasn't all that happy. And he thought to himself, if I graduate, maybe I'll be happy. So he studied hard, worked hard, and somehow, he graduated. And he felt happy for about 3 weeks. And then that happiness disappeared, dissipated. And then he thought to himself, well, maybe if I can find a job, I will be happy. So he sent his applications, resumes, and he found himself a job. And he was happy for about 3 weeks. And then after that, that happiness disappeared, dissipated. And then he thought to himself, well, maybe if I can find myself a girlfriend, I'll be happy. So somehow he managed to find a girlfriend. And for the next 3 weeks, you get the point, right? Happiness is happenstance. Therefore, it's circumstantial. It's external. If I can get something, then I'll be happy. But that happiness does not last forever because it is temporal. Joy, on the other hand, write these words. Joy is based on internal conviction. Therefore, joy is eternal. One more time. Joy is based on not external circumstances, but it is based on internal conviction, something strong. And therefore, it is eternal. Why is joy a gift? And why does Mary say, and I'm going to read it for you, why does she say, after all these proclamations and announcements by the angel, she was confused. How can this be, right? And she was afraid. And that's why the angel kept saying, do not be afraid. She was even fearful as to how this is going to all happen and what it means. Now, in the following verse, here's what Mary says. In verse 46, and Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Why doesn't Mary say, I rejoice in the Lord? Why doesn't she say, my heart rejoices? Why does she say, my spirit rejoices in the Lord, in my God, my Savior? And that's because joy, this rejoicing noun, joy is a spiritual thing. And therefore, it's a gift. It's from the Holy Spirit to you and to me. And that's why we keep hearing the Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, and the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And the same Holy Spirit will testify with your spirit. And that's when you rejoice in the Lord, in God, your Savior. And that's why joy is a gift. It's eternal. The Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says these things. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace. You see that? And that's why joy is a gift. Let's move on to the next point. Okay. Now remember, what's the theme? God became a man, the Holy One, the Most God, the Most Holy, the Lord God Almighty became a man to bring joy into your spirit. Second point. This joy is this. Jesus brings his joy. This is his joy. He brings his joy into your spirit through the incarnation. through the incarnation. Let me read verse 10. But the angel said to them, this is when the angel appeared before the shepherds, right? Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. All the people. And this joy is great news. And what is this joy? What is this good news about? It's the incarnation that God took on flesh, the word incarnation. It's really actually made up of two Latin words, in, into, right? Carne, which means flesh. It literally means to take on flesh, go into flesh. The Holy God, the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, the transcendent God, the creator of the universe, he took on flesh and he became a man. And that's why the angel kept saying, the Holy One will be upon you. And the child that you will conceive is from the Holy Spirit. And he will be called what? The angel kept repeating, the Son of the Most High God. This child is not any child, any ordinary child. This child is divine because God took on flesh. God became incarnate. Friends, the doctrine of the incarnation is very different than reincarnation. Okay? Please do not confuse. I have talked to some people and some of you were confused about this. The incarnation is a unique Christian theology and doctrine in which God became a man, right? He took on flesh. And this is a gift. Why? Because we couldn't do it on our own. We couldn't receive this joy of Jesus Christ by working at it, by wanting it, by obtaining it. It's not possible. It's from the Lord. It's a gift. The incarnation. Now, reincarnation is something entirely different. In fact, this is very opposite of the incarnation. The teaching of reincarnation comes from religions like Buddhism and Hinduism, the Eastern religions, in which this is based on karma. Karma is a Hindu word which means action or deed or work. Life is a cycle. And in this life, your good actions, if you perform well, you become a good moral person, then after you die, you will come back to life. In the next life, you will reincarnate, become, take on another flesh into something, a better being, better creature. This is diabolically opposite to the incarnation teaching, because in reincarnation, it's based on you. It's based on your performance. Your good actions, if they outweigh the bad actions, if your deeds are good, then you will come back to life into a better form. And the Bible says no. Jesus says no. I bring my joy into your spirit by, how? Through me becoming a man. God becoming a man. Very important. Let's move on to the third point. You experience Jesus' joy by joining the dance. That's right. Please write that word. And I need to explain this. And I wish I had like three other people here so that I can illustrate to you what this dance is about. Let me take you to the first epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Very important. Hear the word of the Lord. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. We write this to you to make our joy complete. Did you catch another nuance here? That which we have seen with our eyes, that which we have heard with our ears, that which we have touched. And what's that? Jesus Christ, God incarnate. God became a man. And this is what we proclaim. And this Jesus is the eternal life. And we proclaim to you, because our fellowship is with the Father, God the Father, and God the Son, Jesus Christ. And we write this to make our joy complete. So let me explain. Let me give you, illustrate to you, demonstrate to you what joy is. Imagine this. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Creator God, the Holy One. From eternity to eternity, Alpha and the Omega. And in this triune Godhead, there's only one God, but three distinct persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they're in one fellowship. And that's what John writes, fellowship. Fellowship means sharing, communing together. Okay? What are they sharing? That's the question. Imagine all three persons are dancing. They're holding hands and they're dancing. And the Father says to the Son, Son, I rejoice in you. You are my delight. So joy and delight, they're synonymous. You are my Son, I delight in you. And the God the Son, Jesus saying to the Holy Spirit, O Holy Spirit, I rejoice in you. You are my delight. And the Holy Spirit in this dance saying to God the Father, Father, I delight in you. You are my joy. So this is an eternal dance of the triune God from eternity to eternity. It's of, so joy is something of God. It's what God has shared in this Godhead among three persons. That joy is now yours through Jesus Christ. So this is the dance. Jesus brings this joy by inviting you into this dance. Now imagine yourself, Jesus Christ holding your hand, taking you by the hand, and He brings you into the circle of this dance. And God the Father saying to you, the joy that I have with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, that's now yours. Experience our joy. I delight in you. It's not what you do. It's whose you are. You are mine. You belong to me. I made you. I redeemed you. And I'm sustaining you today. And therefore, you belong with me and you belong to me. And so this is the dance. And that's why it's so important for us to know that we are invited into the dance. Number four, please write these words down. You can experience Jesus' joy by submitting and trusting in the midst of confusion, anxiety, and fear. Yes, you can experience Jesus' joy by submitting and trusting while you are facing confusion, anxiety, and even fear itself. Let's consider Mary. The angel Gabriel appears before Mary, and he begins saying, the Lord God Almighty has this plan for you. And keep in mind, Mary is, how old is she? She's about 12 years old. A teenager, no more than 16 years old. So she's right in that age bracket, 12 to 16, right there. A teenage girl. And the angel said, you will have this child. You'll be conceived by the Holy Spirit. You're going to give birth to a child. And you are going to be most blessed because this child you're going to bear, he will be called the Son of the Most High God. This is no ordinary child. This is the Messiah who has prophesied in the book of Isaiah. The virgin will be with child, right? And Mary's saying, I'm confused. I don't understand. How is this going to be? What do you mean I will be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit? How will I have a baby? I'm only a virgin. She keeps saying that. I'm only a virgin. How can this be? So she's number one, confused. Number one, there is anxiety. She is facing anxiety. Why? Because she knows. In this culture, when you are pledged, Luke writes, she was pledged to Joseph. Better word is betrothed. What it means is that both Mary and Joseph, they were legally binding. They were married, legally. They signed below the dotted line, I will be your wife and you will be my wife, and vice versa. So the only difference between that and what you may expect is they're married legally, they were married covenantally. The only thing they're not doing is they have not moved in together and they're not having sex. Other than that, this is a legally binding contract. And the only way to break off the engagement is through a divorce. And this was that serious. Now, can you imagine? Mary's thinking this through. Joseph, I have been faithful to you. I have not broken the covenant. I kept my word. I am faithful. But the Holy Spirit overshadowed me, whatever that means, and I am with a child. How is that going to go? How is that going to go with Joseph? Will Joseph believe Mary? He didn't. We know in the Bible that Joseph did not believe her, okay, until angel persuaded him. So Mary is not only confused, she was filled with anxieties. She was feeling, oh no, what does this mean? I don't get it. And this is why the angel kept saying, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Mary was experiencing fear. She was afraid. How can this be? I'm only a child myself, a teenager. And yet, she learned the secret of experiencing Jesus' joy. What did she do? She says, I am your servant. She's submitting herself. I am the servant of the Lord, as it were. Lord, you are sovereign. You are powerful. You are wise. You know what you're doing. I'm not in control. You are in control. And therefore, I submit myself under your lordship, your authority, and your wisdom, and your purpose in my life. She submits. And then she trusts. She says at the very end to the angel, may it be done to me. May it be done to me. As you have said. As you have said. And the angel assured her, no word of the Lord shall fail. Nothing is impossible with God, therefore. And that's how Mary reacts. In the midst of her confusion, anxiety, and fear, she is able to experience joy. How do you know that? In verse 47, it says, my spirit rejoices in the Lord, my God, my Savior. Friends, remember this. You can and you should enjoy, experience Jesus' joy while you are faced with confusion, anxiety, and fear. Sometimes the joy that you feel and experience in the Lord Jesus Christ is not in the absence of your confusion and your anxiety. It's in the midst of it. And that frees you up. It frees you up. We can hold on to that. We can hold on to that. Now, some of you are saying, yeah, but I really want to experience, I really want to feel this joy that Jesus is bringing into my spirit. How do I do that? Let me offer. When you don't feel the joy, remember the three steps in the dance. Three steps. Step number one, fact. Step number two, faith. Step number three, feel. Fact, faith, feel. Fact. It's the truth. It's what the Lord has said through the angel Gabriel. I'm going to do this. I am the Lord Most High. And I am going to send the Holy Spirit to you, Mary, and you will conceive a child by the Holy Spirit, and this child will be called the Son of the Most High, fully divine, fully human. Okay? That's a fact. What's step number two? Step number two is faith. Faith is exactly what Mary said. May it be done to me as you have said. That's faith. Faith is holding on or counting on the promises of God. God, you are in control. You are powerful. You are wiser than I am. So I'm going to submit myself and I'm going to trust. I'm going to trust. I'm going to put my faith in your fact. Fact. Faith. Then the feelings will follow. When your faith says, and therefore, I'm going to conform my thoughts, my emotions, and my volition according to the fact, the promise of God's word. Nothing is too impossible for God, and no word of the Lord will fail. And therefore, I'm going to hold on to that. That's faith. And therefore, what you will feel is the sense of joy, this experience of joy, that you are not in control, Jesus is. And therefore, you can be assured that whatever he said will come to pass. And you hold on to that. So feelings of joy, confidence in the midst of frustration, confusion, and anxiety. The problem with most of us is we just want to go to step number three. We skip step number one, fact. We skip step number two, faith. And we simply say, why don't I feel this joy? Well, now you know. Now you know. Remember this. You can experience Jesus' joy by submitting and trusting in the midst of confusion and anxiety and fear. Last point. You complete your joy by inviting others into the dance. You fulfill your joy by inviting others into the dance. Let me reread verse 3 and 4 from 1 John. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy, what? Complete. Let me take you to John 15, verse 11. Christ speaking, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Here's the reality. Jesus took you by your hand and he brought you into the dance among the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are dancing, and you are experiencing their joy for one another. And that's what Jesus says, my joy will be in you. It's his joy in your spirit. And he says, fellowship, this is our fellowship. Our fellowship, this is John writing, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. What is fellowship? It's in Greek word, koinonia. What it means is to share. That's what it means, to share. And what the Bible is saying is this, as Christ shares his joy with us, as he puts his joy in us, our joy is made complete because we get to bring others, invite others into the dance. So this is our fellowship. We get to share the joy of Christ with others by bringing them, holding them by their hands and saying, come with me, join the dance. With the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and myself. It's a constant, ongoing dance of joy. And that's why we get to invite, we get to share, you get to share to your friends and your family members and to your neighbors and co-workers the joy that you have received in Jesus Christ. And this is eternal. Nothing and no one can take this joy away from you because it's a gift from the Lord Christ himself. So friends, let's come to the conclusion. God became a man to bring his joy into your spirit. And as we receive that joy, we get to relive in the joy of the Lord. Would you join me in prayer? Let me lead you. Friends, in this time of reflection and commitment and application, think of three things. Number one, is there a promise to claim? Number two, is there a sin to confess? And number three, is there a challenge to accept? Is the Holy Spirit who came to Mary, is he giving you a promise of Jesus Christ, a word of the Lord, a fact for you to claim? That's faith, my friend. Maybe for the first time, the Holy Spirit is leading you to say, Lord Jesus, you are my joy. You came to give me joy. You came to die for me. You became a man so that I may experience joy. I worship you. I put my trust in you. I follow you. Would you say that prayer? Maybe for the first time, say it. Maybe for the 1,000th time, say it. Receive and claim that promise. And number two, is there a sin to confess? Have you been living a life that is riddled with anxiety, confusion, and fear without the joy of the Lord? Would you confess your shortcomings? Would you confess that you skipped fact and faith and you just went straight to feeling, and no wonder there has been a void? Would you go before the Lord and make a confession? Third, is there a challenge for you to accept? What is the challenge that the Holy Spirit is setting before you so that you may embrace it, accept it, and grow and be transformed? I'm going to give you a moment to bring your prayer before the Lord. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, our God and Lord, receive our prayers, for we do so according to your fact, in the power of our faith, and that we receive the result of that blessing, our feelings, experiencing the joy of Jesus Christ. In the name of Christ, amen.